Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Fred Anderle. This hour on the program, we're coming up on the March 4th Ohio primary. May take on added significance if no clear presidential frontrunners are determined by the February 5th Super Tuesday primary. The voting process in Ohio is changing as well, perhaps for both the primary and the November general election. Ohio Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner, she recently appeared on Open Line. She's requiring that counties offer the option of paper ballots for the March primary, that option for voters who don't trust the voting machines. She's also proposed that the touchscreen voting machines used in 57 Ohio counties, including Franklin County, those touchscreen machines she proposes being abandoned for the November election in favor of paper ballots counted by optical scanners. But the Ohio Association of Election Officials, they represent the county election officials. They recently voted their preference, which is to let election officials in each of Ohio's 88 counties determine the type of voting system they want to use in November, that they would determine that at the county level. This hour, we'll talk with Franklin County election officials to find out their views on Secretary of State Bruner's proposals and their views on paper ballots, touchscreen voting, election security, and more as it affects Franklin County. Matt Damschroeder is director of the Franklin County Board of Elections. He very recently finished his term as president of the Ohio Association of Election Officials, the organization we just mentioned. He's a Republican. Matt Damschroeder, good to have you here.
Good morning, Fred.
Denny White, deputy director of the Franklin County Board of Elections. He's a Democrat. Welcome.
Thank you, Fred.
And, of course, as we mentioned, you know, by law, deputy director and director must be of opposing parties. That's the way it works. Well, we're at 614-292-8513 to talk about our election process. Well, Matt Damschroeder for the March 4th primary. Will Franklin County voters have the option of casting a paper ballot instead of voting on the touchscreen machine, if that's what they want to do?
Yes, voters will. Under the Secretary of State directive from earlier this year, when a voter goes to vote on Election Day, they will have the option of asking for a paper ballot instead of voting on the touchscreen machine with the voter-verified paper audit trail. Mm-hmm. It's also important for folks to know that if they do have a concern, it might be a better option for them to vote early by mail using an absentee ballot, mm-hmm. which is also a paper ballot that is also scanned in the same way that those paper ballots would be scanned on Election Day. So there's really two options, absentee and voting on Election Day. And for those that vote on Election Day, they'll have the opportunity to request a paper ballot instead of voting on the touchscreen with the paper trail.
Matt, you say maybe a better option to vote absentee, and why is that?
Well, I think it's a better option for a lot of folks, as it obviously has the convenience factor that they don't have to worry about Election Day. And on Election Day, there's always concerns about what's happening in the polling place, if they're going to have concerns about will the ballots be there. Going absentee for folks who want to vote on paper, I think, is the best option.
So some people were mailed already absentee ballot applications, right? Did everybody in the county get one, or certain categories?
All registered voters.
All registered voters.
Counties received that application to request their vote by mail, and we're encouraging citizens here in Franklin County to take advantage of that. It's convenient for them. And also, I mean, you're dealing with over 800,000 registered voters here in Franklin County. And instead of, as election officials, dealing with them in a 12-hour period on Election mm-hmm. Day, you spread that 800,000 registered voters over 35 days out before election. It's just convenient, and it's a much more efficient way to run elections.
Mm-hmm. So if you go to the polls on Election Day and you say, I want a paper ballot, you're going to get one.
Yes.
But if people don't know at that time that they've got the option of a paper ballot, are the poll workers going to tell them about it?
No, under the Secretary of State directive, there's no instructions for poll workers to ask the so-called paper or plastic question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But voters will have the opportunity, if they ask.
If they know.
If they will have the opportunity to request that paper ballot and be given it.
Which mm-hmm. With all the publicity, paper versus electronic voting, I'm sure people here in Franklin County will be well informed that they have that option. The Secretary of State will probably also be posting some type of notices and doing some type of public relations outreach to let people know that under her directive, you can request the paper ballot. And I think that the good thing about having electronic here that has proven itself, also paper balloting that has proved itself, the people in Franklin County are very fortunate to have a choice in how they want to cast their ballots. Matt and my job is to make sure that whether you vote by paper or you vote electronically, your vote is recorded accurately and your voice is heard. And Matt and I will do our job on election day.
Okay, Denny, you say that the touchscreen machines have proven themselves, but Secretary of State Bruner commissioned a study that found that many of these machines can be jimmied, can be hacked using a personal digital assistant and a magnet, I mean, among other things. So how have they proven themselves?
Well, first of all, we've had over 8 elections with electronic machines here in Franklin County. I have not personally witnessed any breach in the security here. Anything could be probably breached if there's a way, there's a will, and someone's evil enough to do that. But as I tell my counterpart, Matt, here, I haven't found anybody I want to go to jail over getting elected. I think if you have that evil mind, you have that technology available to you to hack into some system, your return on your investment might be better put someplace else because, you know, there are federal laws, you know, and it's a felony to tamper with elections. And I don't think it'd be very smart to do something like
that. Maybe not very smart, but apparently you can hack one of these machines and not be discovered.
Well, I think there's a lot of concerns from folks about that study. If part of the study that talks from the academics that talks about all of the if scenarios, all of those were conducted in a scenario that really isn't an election day scenario. The academics were given the keys to the system, all the passwords, and a very intricate understanding of how the machines worked. So that test really wasn't, I think, two concerns. It wasn't conducted in a true election scenario. And the other is with when you're doing penetration kind of testing like that, you're also kind of ranking all the things that could happen instead of saying, all right, in the panoply of all the things that could happen, what's the most likely to happen, and then how do we protect or mitigate against that individual or group of tests?
So do both of you think that Secretary of State Bruner was wrong in asking that counties abandon these touchscreen machines by November in favor of paper ballots and optical scanners? Was she wrong?
I don't think there's a right or wrong when it comes to running elections. I think the Secretary of State is trying to make sure that voters have confidence their vote will be counted here in Ohio. Election officials who have done this for many years, and I want to say we have from the finest, I think, professional election people here in Franklin County that also want the same thing that the Secretary of State wants, is that voters have confidence their vote will be counted. The system works. I think what you have is a difference of opinion on how you get from point A to point B. I tell people this story about my mother. God rest her soul. She still thinks traveling by car is safer than airlines. And I don't know how much I tell her about it, how much facts I give her, but, you know, she's much more comfortable, at least when she was alive, sitting in my car going from point A to B versus in an airplane. But that doesn't make her wrong, you know. And this country has many different opinions, and there is a different opinion what's the best way of casting your vote in our system. As I said, here in Franklin County, our citizens are very fortunate. You have three choices. You can vote by using electronic machines if you're comfortable with them. You can vote by paper ballot at the polls, or you can vote by paper ballot in the mail. And Matt and I take our job seriously. We're going to do our job. We're going to make sure that everyone's vote is counted and their vote is secure. And the people that we work with, they're our professionals, they want the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Secretary of State Bruner wants all the touchscreen machines that you have purchased in Franklin County. She wants them out of operation in November in favor of paper ballots to be counted by optical scanners. Are you going to take them out of operation?
Well, I think there's a lot of questions that still have to be answered before those decisions are made. I mean, the Secretary of State has made it very clear the direction that she wants to go. Elections officials have made it clear that they have some concerns about that. And so I think the great thing about our country and this state is that we can all have different opinions and come together and work through those opinions to figure out what the best thing for Ohio is. I think that's the process that's now taking place as the people are expressing their opinions, and we'll come to a consensus on what the best thing for Ohio is.
And Fred, right now, the electronic machines are certified by the state to conduct elections on, or the paper ballot, or the vote by mail. And I think as long as the state says we can use these three systems, we will use these three systems. Now, if the law changes or the Secretary of State decertifies electronic machines, we will follow her directions. She's the head election official in this state. And I advise all elections of people, as long as the Secretary of State is within her lawful means, to follow her directives. And we have done that here in Franklin County. We will continue to do that in Franklin County. But I think the most important thing in all this debate and difference of opinions is we don't erode voters' trust. And people here in Franklin County, speaking on my behalf and hopefully Matt's behalf, is we're going to do our job to make sure your votes are accurately counted and your voice is heard, mm-hmm. no matter what system you
do
use.
Do you have any measure of whether voters trust the touchscreen machines here in Franklin County?
Well, we do have two polls that were conducted in 2006. The first was conducted in a small special election in February of 2006 by the Franklin County Board of Elections in connection with Saperstein Associates here in Columbus. And then the second was actually an exit poll, exit survey that was conducted on Election Day in 2006 by researchers from Brigham Young University in coordination with Ohio State. And in both of those polls, voters said overwhelmingly, to the tune of 85%, that they were confident or very confident that the machines accurately recorded their votes mm-hmm. and that their votes would be accurately counted and reported by the Board of Elections. So we don't really see any kind of crisis of confidence.
You don't see a crisis of public confidence.
Confidence. But all of us, whether it's the Secretary of State, local election officials, we want to do everything we can to make sure that voters are confident, and we want to do anything that we can, including cooperating together, to make sure the system is as secure as possible. Mm-hmm.
The Secretary of State has the power to decertify voting machines. Is that right? And that means what? That means, say, you can't use them. In other words, if the kind of machine – or the ES&S machines, is that the manufacturer here for Franklin County?
Franklin County has the ES&S touchscreen with mm-hmm. the voter-verified paper audit trail, and the entity that actually does the certification and decertification is called the Ohio Board of Voting Machine Examiners. Mm-hmm. It's a three-member panel, all appointed by the Secretary of State, and that's the panel that would actually have to vote either to certify new equipment or an upgrade or to decertify machines.
Mm-hmm. All right. Matthew Demschroeder is director of the Franklin County Board of Elections. Denny White, deputy director of the same board. We're talking about voting here in the March 4th primary coming up in November as well. What's your level of confidence in the touchscreen machines? Are you like, I guess, Matt, you said 85% in both surveys of Franklin County voters said that indeed they were happy with their accuracy and security? Are you or aren't you? 614-292-8513 with Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Well, since you asked the question, I'll say I'm very highly confident in the touchscreen machines. You know, I voted on those last fall, and, you know, I like the fact that it was printing out, you know, while you were entering your information.
You could take a look at it, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it has, you know, the question I ask, has anyone really looked at the, you know, compared paper ballots with these touch screens? You know, the thing I liked about the touch screen is it prevented you from overvoting. You know, it wouldn't let you do that. If you could change your vote, but it wouldn't let you vote for two people. And at the very end, if you hadn't voted for someone, it reminded you of that, you know. So there was an extra step to minimize, you know, undervoting, you know. And I think paper ballots have big problems with both undervotes and overvotes. And, you know, hacking into these machines may be an issue, but I think there are a lot more issues in our election systems that are, you know, probably going to be aggravated by paper ballots. You know, you can register in multiple counties in the state. There's no way of checking that. You could be registered in multiple places, and, you know, other than the fact you go to jail if you vote more places, I don't think there's controls over that. Mm-hmm. I think there are much, much bigger issues than the touchscreen voting machines, which I think are very, very nice.
Okay, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Jim pointed out that people can register in different counties, he says, undetected. And we have, of course, the requirement for voter ID, which is pretty loose in Ohio. There are a number of things you can bring to the polls. Any real evidence of voter fraud on any level?
Not really. We do have one conviction here in Franklin County recently of a gentleman who voted both in Franklin County and Licking County. It was discovered after the fact. The Help America Vote Act required that all states develop a centralized state database of voters, and Ohio has done that. And so now each of the counties, whereas Jim is correct, before each of the counties had their own independent voting system and there was not any information sharing. Now with under the Help America Vote Act and the system now administrated by the Secretary of State, the counties are sharing information and what we call deduping the lists as mm-hmm. folks move from one county to another. They don't always change their registration in their old county. So that is less of a risk than certainly used to be. But Jim is actually absolutely correct. On the touchscreens with the voter verified paper audit trail, prohibit a person from overvoting a contest, voting for both Matt Damschutter and Denny White for dog catcher. Mm-hmm. They notify the voter at the end of their voting session that there are still contests that are yet to be voted on. And also with that voter-verified paper audit trail, it's a permanent paper record of their voters' selections as they mark their ballot. And in the 15th congressional district recount that we conducted in 2006, the paper trail matched with 100% accuracy from the electronic machines, whereas the only variation between the official record and the recount was in the optically scanned paper ballots. And again, it wasn't mm-hmm. significant, but you have 99.9% with the paper ballots and 100% with the electronic record.
So Matt, when you have an electronic test screen machine, at the end of the day, everybody has voted on this particular machine. How is that counted? I mean, what happens? You take a little...
Well, the electronic machine, as the voter casts their ballot throughout the day, all those transactions are not only recorded on the permanent paper record, but also in triple redundant memory inside of the machine. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day on each machine, when the poll workers close it, the machine itself actually does the tabulation, prints out a record that can be posted at the precinct for voters and activists to come look at. And then the poll worker retrieves a small flash memory card from each of the machines, and then also what we call a personal electronic ballot. It's like a cartridge that they load the votes from each machine on. All that's returned to the Board of Elections on election night after the polls close, and we use those compact memory cards and the PEBs to centrally upload all the election results from all the machines from all the precincts in the county.
Okay. We mentioned voter ID. Just back to that quickly. Mm-hmm. Denny White, your former chair of the Ohio Democratic Party, and some Democratic activists and more than activists have suggested that this idea of a voter ID, having to present an ID to detect voter fraud, they've said this is a way that Republicans have of suppressing votes for Democratic candidates. Do you agree with that, or do you think the voter ID law is reasonable?
I think that there's another situation where you have difference of opinions. It's kind of like I think that people ought to have the right to vote. You know, if you have that legal, lawful right to vote, I'm not sure if you should be challenged of that. And I think that's the difference between my party's view and Matt's party's view.
So you don't like the voter ID law?
Well, I think you need to have some securities, but it's like you're treating everyone when they walk on the polls like they're going to do something wrong. It's like before a crime is, you know, enacted. And with the laws, and if the laws need to be tightened up to deal with voter fraud, then just tighten them up. You see some common sense in how we deal with elections in this state or this country. But you're treating everyone like they committed a crime before they even voted when you're asking.
So in other words, you think
ID.
Voters should not be required to present an ID when they
No,
vote
I mean,
about.
we've prosecuted one person for voter fraud mm-hmm. since I've been there 2.5 years. Out of 800,000 people here in Franklin, so we're going to punish 800,000 people and make them bring in their utility bill or their mm-hmm. their driver's license? Come on.
So I mean, get rid of the voter ID law, you're
well,
saying.
Well,
yes or
just
no?
Tighten up. I think there's different approaches how you deal with this. And I say, you know, this tighten the penalties for a crime. There's no crime that's been committed here other than one voter that voted in our county and voted in Licking mm-hmm. County because he owned property in both counties and thought he had the right to vote mm-hmm. on issues out there.
So, Matt, is there any real reason for this voter ID law? Is there any voter fraud? The League of Women Voters of Ohio says it's a law for which there is no offense in particular.
Well, I think to a larger extent that is the case. I mean, there's not a significant record of voter fraud that ID on election day would prohibit from happening. I think most people on the Republican side look at it from a common sense kind of viewpoint of we have to show ID to do almost any other transaction in life. Why not voting as well? And I take a slightly different view that I think while IDs make sense, I think Ohio may have gone a little bit too far in some of the restrictions that it put on ID. To me, it doesn't make any sense to not be able to use a passport, to not be able to use a military ID, mm-hmm. Some of those kinds of things. So I think it makes sense to require some kind of identification, I think we need to do a better job of making those forms of identification more accessible.
You you reject the premise of some Democrats that this is an attempt by Republicans to suppress the Democratic vote.
Oh, I absolutely reject that.
I don't think we should make it difficult for people to vote. And requiring an ID is just another step, another, you know, hoop you got to jump through. And if someone shows up and votes here in Franklin County and they're not registered or they shouldn't be voting, we're going to catch it. And then you prosecute that individual. And like I say, why punish everyone because the possibility that someone might do this, it's just this brings some common sense and level-headed thinking back into the election process. From the debate paper versus electronic, we need some people with some common sense involved.
Okay.
And it's okay to disagree. It's okay to have a difference of opinion. I love my mom. God rest her soul. But she still thinks it's safer to drive in my car versus get on an airplane.
Okay. 614-292-8513 with Mark. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Good morning. And I've got a question for Denny and Matt both. Having looked quite a bit into election reform, the best system I've seen for quality control is a system that Toyota and Alcoa have used. They call it a root cause analysis, where they basically take apart and build a system from scratch and eliminate virtually any problem or flaw in it. Regardless of the system, they can basically eliminate all the flaws. And the trouble to me seems that whether it's the counties or even the state in the recent thing, nobody's done that totally systematic analysis of the procedures and the mechanisms and the equipment, and wondered their thoughts on that, especially in terms of the recent Free Press article that dealt with, it was entitled The Kudzu Vine Phenomena, dealing with the sort of a national and international network of election advisory groups that perhaps have slanted opinions on how the equipment would be used and results. But your thoughts on that root cause analysis approach?
Matt.
Well, I have not read the Free Press article, but I don't believe that root cause analysis was part of the state's procedure. But what I can say is that while the Help America Vote Act did some important things, it also, I think, gave us some problems in that we kind of forced the process of reform and on upgrading too fast. When you put $2 billion out in the environment, voting machine companies are going to meet that demand and they're going to provide a product. But that product, I think, was rushed too quickly to market because of the federal requirements. So we've kind of got the cart before the horse. And what is now taking place is that the Election Assistance Commission, in cooperation with NIST, is actually developing standards for voting machine technology.
NIST is?
National Institute for Standards and Testing, if I'm not mistaken. Federal agency, and they are working together to create the new generation of requirements that all of these voting machines will have to adhere to in the future. So I think a lot of the things that we're looking forward to are in progress. And I think some of those things that the gentleman references in terms of root cause analysis are maybe a part of what NIST is doing.
Okay. Matt, do you think the touchscreen machines are going to remain, or are they the wave of the future nationally?
Well, I think in particularly large jurisdictions like Franklin County, you almost have to look at touchscreens as a very highly preferred system, specifically when we look at split precincts and the number of complicated jurisdictions that we have. As you know, in this county with win-win school districts, we'll have all kinds of split precincts with congressional districts and things like that. And the other thing that a lot of jurisdictions are having to wrestle with is the language requirement of the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. When a jurisdiction gets to a certain percentage of population from a non-English-speaking group, we have to provide all the ballots also in that language. Touchscreens is a very convenient solution for that because you can simply choose on the front screen, do you want this ballot in English or Spanish? Whereas with paper, you would have to provide all of those ballots in both English and Spanish.
Now, have California and Florida decertified all their touchscreen machines?
California and Florida, as I understand it, took two different paths. Florida, they had a legislative process that debated it, and the General Assembly there, the State House, actually voted to do a several-year implementation away from touchscreens towards precinct count optical scan. Mm-hmm. California took a different path, and after a similar study to what Ohio has done, the Secretary of State there, who has the unilateral authority to certify or decertify, decertified machines, touchscreens, and then immediately recertified them with two caveats. One is that the voting machine companies would do X, Y, and Z to upgrade their system, and that local elections officials would increase and standardize their pre-election testing and post-election auditing. So in many jurisdictions in California where they had touchscreens that were decertified, they're now using those recertified, those exact same machines have been recertified as the voting machine companies are upgrading the system and local elections officials are doing more to test the machine.
And Florida over time moving away from the touchscreens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fred, I think one of the important things with the different opinions on which voting systems work the best, which ones are more efficient, which is less breachable. The most important thing is that the protocol that you set up to set up your election and then the protocol you use for winding down with a post-audit is, I think, the most important thing that I hope doesn't get lost in this big debate. That's what will build voters' confidence.
Absolutely.
That people will know that, you know, the security procedures are put in for setting up the elections, the logistics, setting up the databases, the different ballot styles, all the way through to election day with your poll workers training, down to winding down the election and auditing the election. No matter what system we go with, as long as you have a good protocol for setting up, closing down with a post-audit, I think that will build voters' confidence in the system.
Okay, we're talking with Franklin County election officials Denny White and Matt Damm. Shorter callers, hang on the line. We're going to get right to you after we pause for these messages at WOSU 820 NPR News.
Next time on Day to Day.
Hello, this is Mitt Romney.
From personal computerized pitches.
Frank suggested that I give you a call about supporting my campaign.
To rapping ringtones.
Obama, Obama. Oh.
The presidential hopefuls are offering some new online campaign stunts, but will that compute with voters?
We're taking them from someone who's engaged and then hopefully too active.
It's high-tech campaigning next time on Day to Day.
And Day to Day will be here in 30 minutes at noon, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. And coming up during Day to Day at 12:35, WOSU book critic Cassie Rose has a review of the book, The Ordeal of Elizabeth Marsh, A Woman in World History. That's coming up from WOSU book critic Cassie Rose at 12:35. And good morning, I'm Amy Jurevich. It is 37 degrees at 11:32. Thanks for joining us for Open Line. And please join WOSU 820 tonight at 9 o'clock for President Bush's final State of the Union address. Join us for live in-depth coverage from NPR News, including reaction from political analysts and members of Congress, as well as the Democrats' response to the president's speech. That's President Bush's final State of the Union address tonight at 9 o'clock, right here on WOSU 820. And in the forecast for today, mostly sunny skies, a high of 48. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain throughout the night, a low of 38. And cloudy for Tuesday with a high of 48.
Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820 NPR News. We're with Franklin County election officials. Matt Damm Schroeder is director of the Franklin County Board of Elections. He very recently finished his term as president of the Ohio Association of Election Officials. He's a Republican. Denny White, deputy director of the Franklin County Board of Elections. He is a Democrat. All of our lines are full. 614-292-8513. Callers, be concise, and we'll get to, over the next half hour, as many of you as we can. Our next caller here is Patty. Hello, Patty.
Good morning. And Matt and I know each other, and Denny also. I'm the director of the Ohio Election Justice Campaign. And there's numerous things that have come up that hopefully I'll get enough time to address several.
Well, Patty, be concise, because we have a few minutes here, and then we got to move on.
All right. One, let's start with this. The Ohio Association of Election Officials, which is coming out very strongly against Bruner's decisions. Now, there's many things that I've been critical that I wish Jennifer Bruner had done a better job with, but her decisions on putting in paper ballots and getting rid of the machines is a very good decision and something that the public can very much support, and having an accurate vote count is priceless. Now, within the Ohio Association of Election Officials, at the end of last year, I asked Matt to find out about their financial budget, and Matt refused, saying it's a private group. This group is making decisions on behalf of our election machines, supposedly as a private group, and I wrote to Shannon Leninger, the new president, and she gave me a similar response that they would not share election records. And I wonder how, when the counties across the state of Ohio finance this, and I have one county that paid over $700 in dues to the Ohio Association of Election Officials in just one calendar year. For the year 2007, They went to the winter conference and spent over $7,500 plus the salary of all this staff. And this is just one county, and this is going on all over the state.
Okay, now question out of this, Patty.
And so my question is, how can this group be a private group that we can't know their financial records and what they do? And Matt and Shannon both have refused to even give me the list of the officers' names. And how can this group make decisions on our voting machines? Are they a public group? Are they a private group? How do our election officials come from a private
entity?
Gotcha.
Okay, Matt Damschroeder.
Thanks for your call, Patty. The Ohio Association of Elections Officials is a private corporation. Does not meet the definition of a public office, in my view, as defined in the public records laws of this state. And the Ohio that private entity is not making any decisions on behalf of any county board of elections. Its trustees, who are equal number Republicans and Democrats, voted to endorse a 3-page document. That is the official position of that nonprofit bipartisan organization, and not the position of any county board of elections.
Okay. Patty, I have time for one more quick question.
Now, I still struggle with that for all the money the taxpayers put in. So let's move to the 3-person board that certifies the voting machines. So we have someone from Cuyahoga County, Allen County, and I forget right now the third county.
Union County, David Moots, I believe.
Okay. Now, out of Allen County, Keith Cunningham, the director of the Board of Elections there, is on that 3-panel board, and once again, I have concern here. I've gone into the Green Party reports from the recount, and how it is in there, it looks like allegedly their recount was rigged, similar to Cuyahoga's, of pre-choosing the precincts. When you look at destruction of the 2004 ballots, Allen County destroyed their ballots, claiming because they got wet. Well, I've talked to Cunningham, and he described the room in which they stored the ballots, a room where the water flowed across the floor. There was a stream, a constant trickle, and to the point where the room had flooded enough, he described that he'd actually put lines on the floor to see where it flooded at different times. He stated that he moved the ballots off of the shelf because he wanted to use them for something else, put them on the floor. They got flooded. They got thrown away. And according to Judge Marbley's ruling, that's a felony. How can we have these people in charge of our voting machines?
That will be the question.
I'm not totally clear what the question was, but I think it goes back to the point I made earlier. That's why it's so important. And I really pray and hope that our legislators, our Secretary of State, and people who make the election laws in this state and country set us up with a serious, secure step in open elections, how officials will count ballots, how officials will handle the ballots, and then the post-wind-down election, how that would be done. That's all, I think, so important. I just hope it's not lost in this big debate over electronic versus paper. Because if we don't have a good, secure protocol of dealing with starting the elections, setting up the elections, handling election day, and the close of election with an audit after the election, then they're going to have these types of things that happen. And that procedure protocol needs to be uniform.
Okay, so have you got a good protocol for pre- and post-election here in Franklin County?
We believe we do, and we have encouraged the previous Secretary of State to provide some kind of standardized procedure that all counties would follow for doing that, and we're hopeful that this Secretary of State will do that, will prescribe that kind of standardization for the state. Right now, each of the county boards of elections develop those procedures on their own, and we think it would be a good thing to have the state develop a model for everyone to follow for minimum requirements.
Mm-hmm. In terms of preserving whatever ballot records you need to preserve?
Well, I think it goes much beyond, I think, the narrow issue that Patty was on here in terms of the records retention from 2004 to speaking directly to the manner in which we set the machines up before the election, mm-hmm. the way we test them, maybe even election day parallel testing, and certainly post-election audits.
Mm-hmm. And we think we do a good job here.
Absolutely.
Now, could we do better? Yes. That's why we need this energy about the debate of what type of voting system you use to shift into securing our elections, no matter what system we use, if it's certified by the state or the federal government.
Going to be enough machines to go around this time, not like 2004?
Yes. We have In 2004, we had about 2,800 machines that were on Election Day through the foresight of the county commissioners. We purchased more voting machines than even the state had required for us. So we have about 4,500 machines that will be available for Election Day this year.
The other thing that will take off the pressure if people vote by mail.
Absolutely.
And we've had a record number of requests already. I think we're 75,000
for
this primary, which is a historic number. And that will also help.
So you can pretty much guarantee us there are not going to be any long lines at the polling places due to a insufficient number of machines, the machines that don't work, et cetera.
Yeah, we can guarantee that the things that we have control over – and the equipment we have to work with, and the laws and process we have to work with election, there won't be. But we don't have any control over if the state or the county wants to put on 3,000 issues and it takes someone 4 hours to read through the ballot.
Well, we know already they're not going to do that for November, right, don't we?
Well, I think there is some concern about ballot length for this fall already, you know, before any state issues have been put forward. I think the city is looking at putting as many as 8 different bond issues on the school district. So all of those things that are out of our control, you know, kind of create an environment where it's more difficult for voters to participate, potentially, if they don't go in armed with all the facts and information they need, which is why we encourage people to vote early from the convenience and privacy of their own home.
That's another issue that the Secretary of State addressed about when there's only issue only to let people vote by mail, which me and Matt both agree 100%. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that the Secretary of State wants to move the state forward to in our election process, and we can agree on a lot of issues. So, you know, that's the good thing about the system.
Okay. Callers, be concise now. Back to you. Carol's on the line. Hello, Carol.
Hi. You know, I lived in the state of Wisconsin for 15 years, and that is a state where you can register the day of the election to vote. And I have come here and mentioned this to poll workers, and they are aghast. Now, you do have to show ID that shows you live in the right district. But, you know, people move. People forget. People, you know, I couldn't tell you right now when the last day to register to vote for these upcoming elections is. I just don't know, and I consider myself a fairly involved citizen. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's politics involved in making voting so difficult. Look what's going on with the state of Indiana. Why on earth would they make it so difficult for people to vote? You have to have a driver's license or something.
Picture
specific.
ID, yeah. Yeah,
yes, it's
yeah.
very, very difficult. And
well, let me phrase that as a question. Then, what about the idea of registration in Ohio on the day that you vote?
Well, I think there's a lot of folks that support that idea, and I think it was actually tried back in the 1970s. Peg Rosenfeld from the League of Women Voters could probably speak to that better next time you have her on the program. But the deadline to register to vote first time or to change your address is 30 days before any election. If you change your address from one part of the Franklin County to another or from another Ohio county to this county, and you don't file a new card with your local county, you can vote still on Election Day at your correct precinct using a provisional ballot, and then the Board of Elections checks everything to make sure that you are indeed a qualified
elector. Is it just too difficult to set up a registration on the day of vote? I mean, other states, Carol says, are doing
Other states do it. I think it's something that Ohio can and should be, and I think probably will be looking at in the future.
And if there's a way, there's a will. But I don't think that the public should take it out on a poll worker or the elections official. We have to follow the regulations, the law, the Highway Code on how you can vote, where you can vote. We got to follow the law no matter what the law is. So if you have a concern about the ID requirements or you have a concern about same-day voting, you need to voice that concern to the governor, the legislative, the people that make the laws in this state. We can only run the elections by the rules and regulations that they give us to do.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. And Dan is on the line. Hello, Dan.
Yes. Thank you. Fred, I definitely appreciate you having this issue up here, but I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have a program with election reform activists actually talking on the forum?
Yeah, we indeed will as we go along toward the November election, surely.
Because I feel like right now we have a faith-based voting system.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because it's all about transparency. There's no transparency. And for some reason, the current elections officials have been fighting transparency tooth and nail. Mail-in ballots are not transparent. You can't look over the shoulder of the people who are, the chain of custody, all those issues. That makes it difficult to trust them. I think the current elections officials' objectivity is tainted by their connections, very close connections, to the election systems companies. And I'd like to see that addressed. I I think Jennifer Bruner did the right thing when she was in Cuyahoga County and got rid of the whole board. I think they need to do that here in Franklin County. What is your comment?
Well, I don't have a comment, but maybe our panel does.
Well, I think Denny and I would both agree that the voting system here, not just the machines, but the whole process is transparent. I think, and the best example of that is the four recounts we did last year in 2006, where folks from the political parties, from the issue campaigns, from the candidates themselves actually came down and did witness all of those processes, the pre-election process with absentee, the provisional ballot checking process, all of those things are transparent and are available for the political parties, candidates, and issue committees to observe.
And I think you bring up a good point there about transparency. And Matt and I are very conscious of that. And I think with folks fearing the unknown about the new technology, the more transparent we can be with the system and the way we do things at the local board elections is very important to building confidence. And I'm open, and I'm sure Matt is open, and our four-member board is open to ways we can build confidence, the ways that we can be more transparent within the structure of the laws that tell us what we can do and what we can't do. But you're not going to get an argument from me or Matt or my four board members about being transparent, being more transparent. There's nothing wrong with that, and we're not fighting that.
Are you willing to meet with voting activists in the
Sure, we've met with them in the past.
We do it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because the more they're informed, the more they know, the better off we all are. But are we still going to disagree and have a different opinion? Yes, we are. That's American. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why we're the greatest country in the world, because we have different opinions.
Franklin County elections officials with us, Denny White, Deputy Director of the Franklin County Board of Elections, a Democrat, Matt Damschroeder, Director of the Franklin County Board of Elections, a Republican, and you callers, here is Ken. Hello, Ken.
Good morning. I understand that in the state of Oregon, it's 100% mail-in ballots, and in the state of Washington, all but two of the counties have mail-in ballots only. My question is there any consideration being given to converting Ohio to all mail-in ballots? And if we didn't mail in the ballots, that would, I believe, do away with all the questions that are currently being discussed.
I'm not sure if that will do away with all the questions. First of all, I've dealt with the United States Post Office. You know, have you ever heard the expression, the check's in the mail? Okay. So people will have a problem with no matter what system you go with. That's why I say we got to go back to where we need to focus these difference of opinion and debate on. Having a protocol that secures whatever system we use on the setup election, handle election, also to wind down and post-auditing of election. No matter if it's utilizing the post office, if you bring the post office into this factor, people are going to have concern. Okay, could the mailman deliver that ballot because there's a big barking dog in the front yard? Okay, did that disfranchise someone? Okay, or did the mailman have a bad day today? Okay, so I don't think there's one answer that is going to solve everyone's problem other than if we have some protocol for security on how we're going to deal with one system or multiple systems.
But no movement at Ohio to an all-mail-in ballot.
Well,
right?
Senator Cates from Westchester last year introduced legislation that would move us to for special elections that were issues only, boards of elections could conduct those 100% by mail in the way that Oregon, Washington, and Colorado is now moving towards that as well.
Mm-hmm. Any moves that do you see? Is that legislation moving somewhere? Is it going to get?
I think it has the potential to move somewhere. I think Ohio has a long tradition of folks like preferring to vote on Election Day. It was a really significant move for the General Assembly 2 years ago to adopt no-fault absentee. So I think we're evolving in that direction.
Okay, Ken, thanks for your question.
And there's fixes to the voting by mail if you have concern about the post office being able to get the job done. Simple change in the law here. We could mail you out your ballot, and you fill out your ballot, and you bring that ballot we mail to you to your polling location. I mean, that's a common sense. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that one out. Just get that law changed. Right now, you have to bring that ballot back to the Franklin County Board of Election. If you live in Westerville or Dublin, that's an inconvenience to the voter. So just change that simple law. Let that voter who wants a paper ballot that we mail to them be able to drop that off at the polling location.
Former Secretary of State Ken Blackwell suggested weekend voting. if we ever had weekend voting in Ohio, I see no political moves in that direction. But if we did, would that present any great problems logistically?
I mean, I think all of those things are logistical challenges. But, you know, like anything else, those kind of logistical challenges can be met with enough time to properly prepare for them. So I think anything we can do to make voting more accessible to every person, more convenient, and to reduce any barriers that folks may feel that there exist, I think it's something that all of us election officials, whether state or local, are passionate and committed to doing.
Why do you think after all these years, and the, first of all, for 40-some years, the Democrats dominated the House of Representatives and the Senate, then about 15 years of Republicans, and everybody always says, yeah, we ought to make voting a holiday and make it easier for people to get there, or we ought to have weekend voting. It never happens between the two parties.
Well, in some ways, we do have weekend. You do have holidays. I mean, you can vote by mail 35 days before the election. That gives you Saturday voting, Sunday voting. The last time
I checked.
Yeah,
but that's not the same, Denny. That's not the
same. You can vote that way, though. Come on. I mean, so it's like, I just think there's the debate over where you vote on Saturday or Sunday or a holiday.
Why not make Election Day a holiday so people who have to work, you know, two jobs and sometimes three jobs can find it easy? You know, a lot of people get disenfranchised because they can't get to the polls.
From my perspective personally, and as director of the Board of Elections in this county, I would be totally fine with having Election Day be a holiday or to moving that day. Sometimes it just takes more political will than exists.
And we don't have a problem with that.
Why do you think there's no political will among Republicans and Democrats to do that after all these years? Everybody says, oh, yeah, what a wonderful idea to make Voting Day a holiday, and neither party does anything about it.
Neither Denny or I are elected members
of any
of those
bodies. Well, you
were
Franklin County Party Chairman. You were Ohio Democratic Party Chairman.
Would that resolve our problems that we're dealing with today, whether you vote on a holiday or not? I don't think so.
It's going to resolve some of the problems because, for example, in 2004 when you guys didn't put out enough machines, right, in some places.
Fred.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, and you would have had a holiday and people might have been able to wait and they couldn't wait.
I'm glad you touched on that. And I really don't like to dwell on the past, but I think we can learn something from the past and make today's government better than yesterday's government. That's our job to do. And I think the machine situation back in the last presidential election, it happened prior to me being there. There was a lot of issues affected that. There was a lot of issues on the ballot that created long lines. Also, there was a transition from the old electronic machines to the new electronic machines. Should you buy old machines that you know are going to be scrapped, you know, mm-hmm. for the next
sure.
election.
Sure.
So there was a lot of decisions. And then the 527s in both parties did one tremendous job of increasing turnout.
Getting the turnout, right? Yeah.
It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of factors that went into those long lines. And, you know, elections officials can only do so much with what they have to do with. And overall, you know, I think that we have some of the best election people in the country working here at Franklin County. I've grown to appreciate in my 2.5 years there. Could we do better? Yeah, we can all do better. And as I said before, just learn from the past and make tomorrow's government
better. Sounds like a good idea. Okay. Fran is on the line. Hi, Fran.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is actually one. First of all, I would hate to see just 100% mail-in ballots because I think people who don't really have a home or don't have a permanent address would be disenfranchised. Let me say, too, I think that we are much more trusting, and I'm an independent, and I voted in every single election that I can. I'm much more trusting of a Democratic Secretary of State than I was of the previous one just because of prior experience. But my question is related to the information. You suggested that we contact people when we don't like something, but it seems that we only find out about it when it's already happened. You know, you're going to require a driver's license or an ID for voting, which I fortunately can provide, but What about when they start requiring a real ID? And maybe that real ID is going to require a fingerprint that people are going to be unwilling to give. I'm just curious as to where I can go as an educated person to find out about this stuff before it actually happens.
I think the best thing you do is check with your state representative, your state senator, the governor who makes these laws and rules that me and Matt have to enforce, even though we have a difference of opinion. However, it's our job. We have to follow the laws. So, you know, you got an election coming up. You know, ask the person who's voting for state rep, where do they stand on these positions you stand on voter ID, those types of things.
I've got to tell you, though, when you question, like, the real ID and, you know, why don't you want to be fingerprinted? Why don't you want your retinal scan on there? Not saying that Ohio is going to do it, although who knows, maybe they will. But I feel that it's what your point earlier, it's the criminalization of people who are innocent citizens. And this has gone way overboard. And, you know, unfortunately, my representative is a Republican and is not all that willing to hear this. So what I'm really looking for is a website or information that will tell me about it before it happens.
I'm not really familiar, but I'm sure there's all types of voting groups out there that, you know, you could probably do a Google search or something like that on voter information, voter IDs, and hook up with some groups out there.
Well, I have done that, and I'm going to be giving to the ACLU shortly because of their support of free voting. But I appreciate it.
But, you know, ma'am, we still have the best system in the world. Could we improve it? Yes, we could improve it. And don't give up the fight.
I will try not to. Thank you.
Thank you, a friend, for your call. Next is Nancy. Hello, Nancy.
Yes. How many more days does a person have to register in order to vote in this primary, upcoming primary?
Well, the close of registration is 30 days before the election. And if you are already registered and have not changed your address, you don't need to register for every election.
I know that.
So what
is the closing date for the March primary?
I want to say it's February 29th.
That's not 30 days before the primary, is it?
I don't have the election
calendar. We didn't bring our election calendar with us, but if you could call Matt or myself when we get back to the office this afternoon, we'd be sure. Well,
what to is the primary? Date. What is the primary date?
March 4th. It'll be February 4th.
So
will be the cutoff.
30 days before is February.
February 4th,
approximately. Yeah.
So we're talking about a week, 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if nobody knows this, how can there are a lot of people who are going to be interested in voting in this primary who are not going to know ahead of time in order to make plans. This is very short. I think that's one place the board is falling down.
Well, here I go back to again, ma'am. We can only mine and Matt's job is to do what the law says here. And you make a great argument there, but this argument needs to be shifted to the folks who make the laws in this state country.
Isn't the Board of Elections responsible for sending a press release to the papers to say, remember, this is the deadline for voting in this election?
Yes, we are. And we try to reach out to the community as much as we can. Our web page should show all that type of stuff. But I'm not sure if the Dispatch is going to pick that up as a front page headline story. It doesn't believe
well,
so. It's not
going
to lead.
I'll bet you.
Well, and
they should be doing it too. But
I agree with you.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that you had to think about it a while. Also, I would like to know why isn't it true that if you get a request an absentee ballot and then do not use it, you cannot then vote a regular ballot when you do go to the polls on election day?
If an individual requests an absentee ballot and they do not vote it and return it, they can vote a provisional ballot on election day.
That's a little more complicated, and I don't think that the board has made it clear to voters when you send out the notice about voting by mail that that does happen. So I'm just thinking there's more. I know you work very hard. I think you do a very good job, but I think there are some improvements that need
yes,
to be made.
Yes, everybody can improve things, and we're open to any type of improvement. But back on the mail vote, if you've gotten that card, please fill it out, get it back in. The great thing about our county commissioners this year, they've given us funding so you don't have to pay for postage, and that's very important. So save a gallon of gas on election day and make the system work better, vote by mail. So
we just have 1 minute left. I see a caller had a question about privacy and curtains. Are we going to have the voting machines, I think he's asking, angled with sufficient privacy for everybody?
That's one of the things that we have worked very hard with our poll workers to have them, when they're setting up the machines on election day, to set those up in a manner that maximizes privacy for all the voters in the same way that they would want the same privacy. We want them to set it up that way.
Mm-hmm. And that should easily be accomplished.
Yes.
Okay. Matt Damschroder, Director of the Franklin County Board of Elections, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Denny White, Deputy Director of the Franklin County Board of Elections, thanks for being with us.
Invite us back.
We will indeed. And the news is next on listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820, NPR News.